إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، once again I welcome all of you. We continue in our classes pertaining to al-usra al-muslima, matters pertaining to the Muslim family. And we going to continue bringing some points of benefits as related to how the Muslim home should be. As we mentioned before, that the Muslim home should be distinguished, not because of the place where it is or the color or how many bedrooms in it, but rather it stands out when those who live in it apply Islam, when they are obedient to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when they adorn themselves with the manners of Islam. The Muslim home should stand out, but only when the Muslim home and what lives in it, they follow the example of the best of all homes, the homes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his pure wives, and the homes of our beloved companions, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum. من أولى أولويات البيت المسلم وأسمى رسالة يقدمها للمجتمع تربية الأولاد وتكوين جيل صالح قوي. The Muslim home has a great responsibility. But the priority is given to the education of the children, one of the many but the great of all tasks and the fruits actually that the Muslim home may produce: righteous children, strong generations, righteous and strong generations. وَلَا قِيمَ لِلْتَرْبِيَةِ ولا أثر للنصيحة إلا بتحقيق القدوة الحسنة في الوالدين. And now we're talking about the education and the cultivation of the children in these homes. And it has to be done the right way. And we need to learn what is the right way to cultivate the children, boys and girls, in our homes. Our children, those whom we love for the sake of Allah. Yes, we have hopes as parents. We want them to be good. We want them to be hafiz. We want them to be righteous. We want them to stay out of trouble. We want them to be kind. We want them to be obedient to Allah. We want them to be amongst the best. We want them to be ulama. Hoping for this is a good thing. But yet there is a lot of work that comes with that hope. Lot of work, sacrifice. You gotta give up certain things to get others. And you gotta have a long-term plan. When it comes to the children, you know, it'll take them a time to grow up. So it's not like a work of 1 week or two, or a month or two, not even a year or two. It takes years. of sincerity, ikhlas, years of devotion, determination, years of continuous work and struggle, but you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these children, they're not going to learn until the parents are taught. And the children, they learn by example. Therefore, the parents have to be the good example for their children. Because the little ones, they just copy what their parents are doing. If their parents spend the most time with them, of course. But the children, they're going to copy whoever is around them and who spends more time with them. Sometimes you find the mistakes of some parents for the love of dunya, for the love of wealth, and they forget about the great responsibility of being there for their children. You find the father and mother work. And they believe, they think like this is the way, this is the best way. We both gotta work. Following the West. And who takes the, take care of the children? You know, we see that in the mornings. We see how the non-Muslim parents do. You see how they drop their little ones early at 5 o'clock in the morning, knocking at some door. And they leave their little ones, their loved ones. Some of them are babies, just born. They leave them with strangers. And to take care of them for hours, 8 hours, 10 hours. Some put their kids in daycare, which really don't care. Because who will care about your children more than you? It's people, they care about the money. That's what they're there for. And that's a big mistake. Of course, it is different case and scenario if a single mother or a single father, for whatever reason, one of the spouses died or one of them is not available because of a valid reason, and then the other parents, single parents, has to go to work. Nobody is taking care of them. That's different. But when you find the husband is taking care of his responsibility and he's providing, then the sister, she should stay home and educate the children. She has a job. And that's the best job. For her to be there and give her boys and her girls love and affection that they're going to need when they grow up. Why? We're going to later on, we're going to read to you for as the impact of this. When children, they grow up in disorder, they grow up in a home that they are not in order. And they have a great impact on their personalities, in the way they think, the way they make decisions, the way they approach others, the way they talk, and the way they do things. Likewise, the fathers, they should keep in mind, the fathers, they have a great role to play as well in the education of their children. But they have to be around them. Some parents spend a lot of time outside the house. They leave in the morning, they don't come until late. Some parents, father, leave while the kids are still asleep. And he don't come back home until the kids are already asleep. They don't see him. Only on his day off, if he has a day off, and still he has to spend a whole day sleeping. So he lives in a house, but he's not there. So the children, they grow month after month, year after year. Yes, they know that that man is their father, but they didn't get nothing from him. They didn't get from him as what the children should get from their father. Don't talk to them. Don't spend time with them. Don't bring them to the masjid because he himself don't come to the masjid. Maybe he go and pray in other masajid by his job. But the masjid he leaves around that he can take his children to so they can get to know other children. They can take a part of the programs of that masjid and the like and this. No, he don't have time. Whether that person is working more than one job because he has goals he has to achieve, he has to build this house over here, buy another here, start a business back home, or whatever the case is, or some people, they have only one job, a part-time job, but still they don't, they have a lot of time, but they spend it outside, in the coffee shops, with their friends, and they neglect their children, and spend in a quality time with their children. And our noble scholars who we have many tele links with them, because this is a summary, alhamdulillah, as to me, I translated quite a few nice, good talks from our noble scholars as related to the education of the children and how important this matter and this subject, we should give it a great importance. And how when the parents are not around, they're not available, they're not around their children, children suffer. Even though those parents, they like, look, they have a best house to live, they eat good food, we buy them the best clothing, so what they want? They want the food for the soul. That's what they want. They want the remembrance of Allah, the Quran. They want to grow. Some people, they later on, when the children become 12, 15, 16, 14, and they begin to give them trouble, they're like, why? I gave him everything. I worked so hard, man. From place to place, state to state, area to an area. Any market, you can ask the people, Muslims and non-Muslims, in any markets in the area, they can tell you about me. They live in the best place, best area, eat the best food. I give them everything. No, you didn't give them everything. Give them dunya. You didn't give them that which they needed it when they grow up. As the Arabs, they say, it's like a proverb, لا يستقيم الظل والغصن أعوج. The shade or the shadow is not going to be straight while the branch is crooked. The branch is crooked and you want the shadow to be straight, ain't going to happen. The house is not in order, and how the child is going to be straight? The house is not in order. The father and the mother, they're not straight. They live a life according to their desires, what they want, not what Allah wants from them. And that child is observing everything. And when they grow up, they start acting just whatever you put into them, that's what they're going to get from them. Every container gives what it contains. If you put love of Allah in the children, taqwa, iman, then that's what you're going to see from them. But if you put dunya, a love of dunya, because that's what they see you running after the dunya, they're just going to grow up talking. When they grow up, they're going to talk about the dunya. They want it. Naam. The great responsibility on the Muslim home, one of the best achievements that the parents can do is to bring about righteous generations. But the parents has to set the good example. Good example in ibadah, in worship. Because you're a Muslim, but you don't practice Islam. Your children gonna grow up, how they know they're Muslims, alhamdulillah, because the parents are Muslims. Yeah, I'm Muslim. Why are you Muslim? My parents are Muslim. You pray? No, I'm praying. I don't have to pray. Why? My mother don't have to pray. I don't see my mother praying. My mother said, it's okay, we pray, don't pray, it's okay. As long as you're Muslim, you're Muslim. See, children grow up learning this. It's not like when another daughter, her mother says, come in, let's pray. I don't want to pray. No, we're Muslims, daughter. MashaAllah. The prayer is good for us. Alhamdulillah. Look at the benefits of praying. You want to make it to the Jannah? Yes, son. Son, you want to make it to the Jannah? Yeah, but look, you can't buy a place in the Jannah, son. We can buy a car. We can work hard, son, and save some money, buy a new car, buy your toys. But I can't buy you, son. I can't buy you a place in the Jannah, and I can't buy not even one for myself. Then that son's going to say, why can't you, father? You always buy me everything I ask for. He says, yes, son, in this life, I try my best to buy you everything you ask for. But in the hereafter, nobody can buy anything for himself. But Allah has guaranteed this Jannah for certain people. Then your son, your daughter says, who are they? You will say to them, I'm not going to give you no names because I don't know. But I give you their characteristics, their signs. They do certain things. It's like your teacher at school. Your teacher in the beginning says, look, certain people class from class, they're going to get A pluses, straight A's. Now, if one of the students said to the teacher, can you give us their names? He says, I don't know yet. But I can give you how certain people are going to get those straight A's. How? If they attend the classes, they listen, they understand, and they do the homework, and answer correctly in the test. Likewise, son. Likewise, daughter. Allah tells us characteristics and the signs of the people of Jannah. That they worship Allah alone. They don't associate with him any partners. They obey his orders and obey the orders of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They fulfill what Allah has commanded them to the best of their abilities. And they stay away from the haram, all of it. And if they wrong themselves and they fall into the prohibitions, they quickly turn to Allah and ask for forgiveness. They learn the deen of Allah. They want to learn what takes them to the Jannah. And they want to learn the things that lead others to the hellfire so they can avoid it. And they are nice to their parents. They are nice to their neighbors. They respect the elders. They respect their siblings. And the like. They truthful in their speech. They don't lie. They love Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They love the believers. They hate kufr. They hate shirk. They hate hypocrisy. You give them examples like this. So now, and then you talk to your children about the Jannah, what's in it, the beauty in the Jannah. And you tell them, look, man, here, sometimes you have to beg me to get you something for 10 bucks, man. Please, father, did you get it? Ah, forget. Ah, okay. Then 2 days later, father, you get it? Oh, I ran out of money. Father, you get it? Next paycheck. Father, you get it? You don't need it. See? He says, but in the Jannah, son, you don't have to ask me. Anything you want, it's right there. Think about it, it's right there in front of you. Then your son and your daughter, look, the fitrah, they're little. They says, let's go to the Jannah now. That's what they're going to say to you. Let's go now. Why are we here? You say, son, it's not up to us to go now or tomorrow. Or that's for Allah. Why? Why, father? Why, mother? Well, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us, He set a time for every one of us to spend it on this earth. Some they spend 10 days. Some spend 10 years. Some spend 80 years. Some spend more, less. That's for Allah. But look, son, we don't worry about that, but we just have to be prepared for that day. Because that day is certain. Tomorrow is not. The death is certain. So that's why we have to do these things. So inshallah ta'ala, all of us as a family, because we don't want some of us in Yawm al-Qiyamah falling short and going in the hellfire. We want all as a family, we want to stay together, inshallah, and we got to do things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the just, the Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, He has promised the Muttaqoon, the Jannah. And let us work together as a family. Let us help each other as we're going to learn, inshallah ta'ala. This is the conversation parents have to have with their children. Parents have to be serious about the deen. Parents still into the dunya. They Muslims, and this, but they still into the dunya. Still want to watch TV, still have TVs in their bedrooms, in the living rooms, in the kitchen. The sister, she has her own soap opera that she don't want to miss one episode. And if she missed one, she recorded it, whatever. You know, they have different technologies. You're going to might get it on YouTube or whatever. Or ask another sister, did you record it for me? Can you record? Because I'm attending here. I got to go to work, whatever. But we got to do this with the classes of Aqeedah and Tawheed and Fiqh. These are the classes that we want to make sure. I don't want to miss one class. And if I miss one, I want to make sure I'm going to ask those who were there, please, anybody recorded that class. But now, alhamdulillah, even if you miss a class in the masjid, there is so many classes in the same subject of the great ulama on YouTube. Alhamdulillah, just know the great ulama. Don't just listen to anyone on YouTube. That's dangerous. Now you listen to the great ulama. If you know Arabic, alhamdulillah, that's easy for you. If you don't know Arabic, then you listen to those du'at who are trustworthy. The du'at who they know Arabic and English. And they are known to the ulama, not anybody who sit himself out there. Those who are known to the scholars, and the scholars, they know that these people, they have some basics, they have some correct understanding to take the people who don't know Arabic yet to that level, inshallah ta'ala. Naam, as parents, we should set the example for our children in ibadah, in salat, tahara, ghusl, fasting, zakat, hajj, umrah, in akhlaq. We have to be the best example in manners. We always speak the truth in front of them. They see in us that we are truthful, we're generous. Being generous doesn't mean spend $1 million. No, generous is mean, it's not just the action, it's how you do it. It's not, you gotta give a whole $10,000 to be generous. You give it a $10. You give a dollar. But then the way you do it, and you did it in a nice way, with a cheerful face, and you explain to your boy, you explain to your daughter, yeah, we did it because, alhamdulillah, we help each other. That family is in need, son. Or you hear about a family going through some trouble, and you say to your wife, here is some food, please cook something. This family is going through some hardship. Or a sister gave birth, and her husband, they are like busy with a lot of things. She cannot get up and cook. And now, of course, the sister now, she's cooking more than what she cooked. Now that little girl, she knows. Kids, they're very smart. They're like, mother, why are you cooking all this food? Usually you don't cook all this food for us. Then the mother says, right, daughter, right, son. Some of it is for us, and some of it for this family. Why? Why? They don't have gas? No, they have gas. So why can't they cook themselves? Why? Because the sister, she has a newborn baby, and mashallah, we're going to give her some time to, you know, mashallah, to catch up with her health. And this is what Muslims do for each other. Alhamdulillah, some other families do the same thing when they give birth to you, son. Yes, for a couple of days they were giving me food, jazakumullah khairan, in a way that I couldn't even, I didn't have no room in the fridge to store those things. May Allah reward them. And that's what we're doing for them. And even those who have no children, They do this. They do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As one of the wise men back in time, an old man, very old, in old age, very old, but he was planting trees. He was planting trees, and those trees, he was planting those trees, and then one of the governors or something in that area passed with his entourage, the people that go with him. What do you call them? Motocad? Yes, his entourage and the people. And then all of the sudden they see this old man planting trees. They stop. They were amazed. And they ask him, he said, young man, you know that these trees that you're planting take them years to get the fruits? He says, yes, I know that. So then you know that, I'm not insulting you, but you know that you may die before these trees grow up. He says, I know that too. He says, so why are you planting them? He says, those who came before that, غَرَسُوا فَأَكَلْنَا وَنَغْرِسْ فَيَأْكُلُونَ. So those who came before us, they plant these trees that me and you were eating from. I'm planting some, so those generations that come after me and you, they will eat too. Aina, you do this. Put something in your children. Put in them the aqidah, the correct aqidah. That's what's going to help them when they grow up. Put in them the love for Allah and the love for His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't give them their own TV and DVD, because that's all they're going to learn. Because in a DVD, they're just going to learn about Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and all of those, I don't know, singers, wal-iyadu billah, and ball players, and they want to be like them. That's why when you bring them to the masjid and they hear Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu anhu, the Sahaba, Ahmed ibn Hanbal, al-Shafi'i, Malik, this, Ibn Taymiyyah, Muhammad Abdul Wahab, Ibn Baz, Albani, Uthaymeen, Fawzan, Rabi', don't mean nothing to them, because they're not on a DVD. But start talking about Kobe Bryant, man, they will take the mic from your hand. Now we gave you a lecture for three hours straight, tell you his name, where he went, what school, how many he averaged, what pick he was, number first round, second round, I don't know. They tell you everything about that kafir man. And they have respect for them. And they want to be like him. And they imitate them. They wear their t-shirts. Some Muslims wear their own hairstyle cut. Yeah, they shave the same way. They get a haircut, the same like their idol. Some even Muslims wear earrings, wal-iyadu billah, because they want to imitate their role model. They want to talk like them. They even want to eat what they eat. Yeah, they hate broccoli. But if that idol love it, mom, bring some broccoli here. You never ate it. Ah, it's okay. I find out it's good for me. Yeah, because that kafir eats broccoli now. Naam, ya akhwan, that's what we're going to put in our children. Unfortunately, some Muslim family, they're like this. They're just Muslims by affiliation. They're just Muslims because they were born in a Muslim country. That's it. No Islam is practiced in their lives. No Islam in their homes. Nothing. No signs of Islam. Some of them, yes, they come for Jumu'ah, alhamdulillah. They're struggling with the Salat. They pray whenever they want to pray. No remembrance of Allah, no recitation of Quran. The house is filled with music, DVDs, movies. All their plans is around the dunya. And all of the sudden they want that child to be serious about Quran, unless if Allah wants good for that child. And Allah is able to do all things. They have to be the best example, the parents, in ibadah, in akhlaq. They have to set the good example. And they have to pay attention to everything the parents say. In general, and especially around their children. Because the children, they're going to learn not only what you say and also the way you say it. The tone of voice. When you say things, the children, they're going to copy you as well. You're going to set the good example in everything you do, your moves. The way you sit, your children are going to usually going to sit the way you sit. They will sleep the way you sleep. They will go to bed when you go to bed. If some parents stay up all night, children stay up all night. But if the parents make it a habit after Isha, inshallah, we're going to do whatever we're going to do. If we, they already ate before Maghrib, alhamdulillah, after Isha, they may drink a tea or whatever, get a banana, a fruit in here or there, something light, let's go to sleep. Pray with her, not yet son, not yet father, go pray with her son. And then they go to sleep. The children, they may not want to do it the first night, second month, first year, 3 years later, 8 years later, that's it, they become a habit. Naam, very important for the parents, for all of us to understand this, that when we say, when we do things, when we say things, when we, whatever we do, our children are copying from us. And that's usually, unless for those that Allah has mercy on them, that's usually what the children they're going to be when they grow up. In Surah Al-Furqan, verse 74. والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. And those who say, our Lord, bestow on us from our wives and our offspring the comfort of our eyes and make us leaders of the muttaqun, the pious. You make dua. You make dua for you and for your children, for your wives. Because tawfiq is from Allah. Don't you ever think because you're righteous and straight, your children has to be righteous. It doesn't work like that. Now you gotta ask Allah. Nuh alayhi salam is a messenger of Allah, but his son was on the other side. And his wife. Okay? So it's very important for us to remember the like of these ayahs, to highlight them. And ask Allah, say, Rabbana, hab lana min azwajina, wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Naam. Waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. You make this dua. Our Lord, bestow on us from our wives and our offspring the comfort of our eyes. They will do nothing, and when they talk, it's pleasing to you. When they do things, it's pleasing to you. When you talk to them, they talk nice to you. Not like children rolling the eyes of their parents, shaking and bumping their heads. I want to do it. You do it. We live in America. I don't have to remind you, right? No. But teenagers, they love Allah, who love the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They respect their parents. But because the parents, they have put that in them when they were little. When they were very young, they put that love of Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in them. Now they harvesting the fruits, alhamdulillah. Also in Surah Ibrahim, now, tadabbar da'wat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ponder and reflect upon the dua of Abu al-Anbiya, Khalilullah, Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, Rabbi ij'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyyati, Rabbana wa taqabbal dua. O my Lord, make me one who performs the prayers, and also from my offspring, our Lord, and accept my invocation. This is a dua. Verse number 40 in a chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 40. Will you memorize this ayah? And you make dua. Say it all the time. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي. Constantly you making this dua. Because Allah, He's the one who grants tawfiq, it's not you. Some parents, yes, they're like, man, I'm going to make sure this son is coming to the masjid. And they make, where you at? He has to find him. Sometimes his children, he's like, he knows that the father is going to go to the tour. Now he go in the bathroom. And now the father now is between what? The stone and what?
A
hard place. Between the stone and the hard place. Now what to do? Wait for that son who's in the bathroom, miss the salat, or go to the salat without him, he don't want to do that. Usually he leaves because that son is knocking. Son! Nah, the son has another plan. He's using it as like, man, I don't want to go. Sometimes some parents, they manage to bring the children to the masjid, but then that child, they call the iqamah, he goes, he runs out. A'udhu billah, because he don't want to pray. You can't force people to pray. You want to teach them to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if they love Allah, it will become easy for them to pray. Because Allah will command them. And Allah commands only with that which is good. We don't neglect them when they were little. Now when they grow up crooked, now we want to straighten them out. What's going to happen? We give you the example again of a tree. Somebody plant an apple tree in the backyard. Alright? And neglected it. And the tree grow up, what? Crooked in the backyard of the neighbors. And there is a fence. So now what that person want to do? Want to straighten the tree. What's going to happen? He's going to break. He don't benefit and the neighbors don't benefit. Nobody. Same thing. Now you're going to wash your children. And if we act correctly and we are righteous in everything we do, the children usually they follow the example of their parents. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha, in Surah Taha, that's chapter 20, verse 132. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. And enjoin the prayers. And enjoin the prayers on your family. And be patient in offering them, meaning the prayers. We ask not of you a provision. We provide for you. And the good end, i.e. paradise, is for the muttaqun, the pious. جَعَلِ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْهُمْ. Now, في غياب البيت المسلم الهادي الهاني ينمو الانحراف. سبحان الله. تفشو الجريمة. ترتفع نسبة المخدرات. وترتفع نسبة الانتحار والعياذ بالله. Now, if the home is not established upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the correct aqidah, those who live in it, they grow crooked and deviant. They deviate from the right path. And that's why it's not amazing that you hear Muslims, youth, teenagers, involved in crimes. Some children, youth, Muslim, they in gangs. Some dealing in drugs. You may not hear it in this area because Allah protects, for one thing. But subhanAllah, I've been in big cities such as Philadelphia, such as New York, Newark, New Jersey, East Orange, those areas with condensed. Ask people in Chicago, they tell you. Or in New York, or in Philadelphia, for example, as I mentioned. Or those cities that are close to New York, like Newark, New Jersey, or Camden, New Jersey. And ask them. Me personally, many times, people call us and ask us, oh, we're going to have janaza, 19 years old, Muslim. Wahab Gashab. Yeah? By who? By another Muslim. By another Muslim. This is very important, ya akhwan, for us to understand. If we don't give the children what Allah commands us to give them, they grow up crooked like this. And especially in the West, in the countries like this, they grow up in the streets. They grow up watching the DVDs and the movies of violence. And they're going to act like that. They're going to act like that. Yeah, his name is Abdullah, Bilal, Ibrahim, maybe Muhammad, but he's going to act like Leroy and Dwayne and Johnny and them. No, that's how they're going to act. Because they don't have what it makes a difference. The name alone doesn't make a difference. No, إن البيت الذي لا يغرس الإيمان ولا يستقيم على نهج القرآن ولا يعيش في ألفة ووئام ينجب عناصر تعيش التمزق النفسي والضياع الفكري والفساد في الأخلاق. So when the house, the Muslim house, does not engrave iman in the minds and the hearts of those who live in it. A home that is a Muslim home, because Muslims live in it. But those Muslims, they don't follow the manhaj of the Quran in their lives. They don't have that life, that joyful life, the life of love, serenity, joy, and stability, and peace of mind that is guaranteed, that Allah guarantees for those who obey Him and obey His Messenger, act upon what He has legislated. Now, what do you think about a home like this? He's going to give birth to individuals who they lost. Boys and girls, they don't know who they are. They have Muslim parents who gave them Muslim names, Khadija, Aisha, Safiya, Sara, Juwayriya, Maymuna, Khalid, Bilal, Talha, Zubair, Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Ibrahim, Nuh, Musa, Harun, Isa, Sulaiman, Dawood. And yet, they don't know anything else after that their parents are Muslims and they have Muslim names. And you'd be amazed when you see a Muslim name and they're doing bad things, bad behaviors, bad etiquettes, ill manners. Children grow up and they become adults. That's the problem. They become parents themselves and they open homes and they're not stable in their lives. Agitated, emotional, difficult for you to deal with them or even to know who they are, what makes them happy and what's not. They're not stable, have no stability whatsoever in their lives, because they grow up in unstable environments. They grow up in a shaky environment. They grow up in a home that does not give priority to akhirah, but rather the priority is given to this dunya, wal'iyadu billah. هذا العقوق الذي نجده من بعض الأولاد والعلاقات الخاسرة بين الشباب والتخلي عن المسؤولية والإعراض عن الله والتمرد على القيم والمبادئ الدينية الذي يعصف بفريق من أبناء أمتنا اليوم، كل ذلك نتيجة حتمية لبيت غفل عن التزكية وأهمل التربية وفقد القدوة وتشتت شمله. Now the reality is that some children, when they, especially when they become teenagers, and they become young in their 20s and the like, and they disrespect their parents, instead to be dutiful to them, they were commanded by Allah to be dutiful to their parents and to respect them and to be nice and kind to them and don't give their parents hard time. No, they do the opposite. They disrespect their parents. These are Muslim children. They have Muslim names. And their parents are Muslims as well. And they disrespect their parents, give their parents hard time. Their parents constantly worry about them. And also between them, as youth, as teenagers, they don't respect each other, fight each other, constantly fighting over silly things. Youth, they're supposed to be in that age, actually, at least if they're not already involved, at least they are aware of the great responsibility there is, huh? Upon their shoulders in a couple years, they're going to be parents again, and they have to do this. They have to bring and to cultivate children that in 15, 20 years, they're going to do the work again so that that ummah continue to be strong. No, they don't have no clue what's going on. You talk to one of them, he says, hey, you're 19. Man, you're supposed to be married already. It's like, come on, man, marry me, I'll never get married. See? You tell them, you're supposed to be serious, man, because now you're a grown up. And in a couple of years, you're going to have to be, you're going to do things. People are doing things for you now, but in a couple of years, you're the one that's going to be doing things for others. He ain't going to do nothing. He ain't going to assume no responsibility because he didn't learn. He didn't learn. He don't know what's responsibility to begin with. Youth, Muslims. Some, unfortunately, grow up in Muslim countries. They're rebellious against the deen of Allah. Rebellious. You're talking about Islam. He says, oh, come on, man, Islam, we ain't going nowhere with that stuff. A'udhu billah. Where these statements come from? All of this is the result of that house that they grow up in. The parents, they have neglected those children. They neglected their cultivation and their purification. The parents, they were not the best example. They were not a good example for those children. That's why we have children like those. That's why we have youth growing up disrespecting their parents, disrespecting the elders, disrespecting anybody that come in their way. They think they are the only one they are wrong, right. Everybody else is wrong. I said, he's right. She's right and nobody else. You tell her daughter, Allah says, she says, listen, man, now you want to tell me Allah says? Where you've been? Nah, that's true. Some daughters, some sons, they're like, now you want to tell me what Allah says? Why didn't you tell me that when I was 6 and 7 when I needed you? And you left me with the neighbors. You didn't know what I went through. You think going another, getting an extra job was more important to you? To get that extra car, to get whatever you want, that was more important to you than you spent some time with me, and you left me with the neighbors? You didn't know what I went through? Allah. البيت الذي يجعل شرائع الإسلام عضين يأخذ ما يشتهي ويذر ما لا يريد إلى شرق وإلى غرب ينشئ نماذج بشرية هزيلة ونفوسا مهزوزة لن تفلح في النهوض بالأمة إلى مواقع عزها وسؤلها إلا أن يشاء الله سبحانه وتعالى. Now, a house that they do everything but adhering to the deen of Allah. A father and a mother, they're willing to give any sacrifice for the dunya. She's willing to sacrifice anything for a portion of this dunya. But the deen, learning the Quran, reciting the Quran, remembering Allah, spending some quality time with the children to read the hadith, Riyad Salihin, this, no way. None of this. It's not on their program. Never was in the program of this family. They Muslims by affiliation, by name. They were born in a Muslim country, but they live the life of the West. Especially those who live in the West. They follow their desires. Whatever they want to do, they do it. They don't think, hold on, we want to do it. Well, hold on, is it pleasing to Allah? Is this something halal or haram? Is this something going to help us or not? None of this question come in their mind. Let's do it. Things they don't like to do, they don't do it. They don't want to pray? Okay, we're not praying. The husband is not praying, the wife is not praying, and nobody say, what, did you pray? No. They don't care. Pray, don't pray. It's freedom. You're free country. Free men. Pray, don't pray. Doesn't matter. But food has to be at 5 o'clock on table. She pray asr or not, he don't care. But food has to be on the table. What he likes. But what Allah commands, he doesn't care. She get in trouble if she doesn't do what he likes. But she doesn't get in trouble when she doesn't fulfill her Lord's obligations. He don't care about that. And her too, she don't care. He prays, he don't pray. He go to the masjid, don't go to the masjid. Doesn't matter who his friends, where he spend his time, as long as he leave her alone, he leave her do whatever she want to do. So he do whatever he want to do. She does whatever she want to do. Children, they are in a crossfire. They lost between these two parents. They lost. One time they want to follow the father, the other time they want to follow the mother, and they lost. SubhanAllah. A house like this, the father and the mother, they're supposed to set the good example for the children? No way. The mother is in the east, the father is in the west. Children where? Lost. In Antarctica or whatever, I don't know where. The mother is in the east with her programs. The father is in the west. Children are lost. Cannot be both in the same time. Now, a house like this, what children it will produce? What generations? Weak. Unstable. Emotional. Will never ever benefit themselves, not alone benefit their community. And the shabab, tharwa azima, the youth is a great treasure for every ummah, for every nation. That's their treasure, not gold. Okay, this country have a lot of gold and oil, nobody there to work and to put it to work and for benefit. The youth, they have strength. Okay? They have intelligence. But if those youth, they don't want to work, they just want to sit and watch all YouTube, they just want to play DVDs, they just want to watch movies, they just want to watch soccer games and basketball games and baseball games, and they just want to chat, they want to play games, I don't know what they want to do. They want to ride in a highway and 150 miles causing trouble to others who are driving and the like. What they want to do? Do you think children, this is youth like this, they're going to be of any benefit for the community? No. البيت المسلم من سماته الأصيلة أنه يرد أمره إلى الله وإلى رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند كل خلاف. one of the main characteristics of a Muslim home, that they are connected to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything they do, any programs in the house or outside the house, they will see what Allah says about that. They always do what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are patient, even if it's that which their nafs don't want. Maybe their family members don't want that. That's true. Some families, they want to apply the deen of Allah, but then their family, immediate family, they're like, why are you like this? No television, no mixing, no music. Who are you guys? Extremists. You guys bring in a new religion. Because those people don't know. But you're going to be strong. Because you're doing it for Allah. And you're doing the right thing. And you're going to be patient. وَالصَّبْرُ عَلَى الْأَذَى فِيهِ مَنْ تَلَاتَتْ أُصُولٍ. You think those classes are for nothing? No, for it to be implemented. You learn that you got, once you're going to, you want to learn this deen, it's not easy. Because your nafs is going to tell you, come on, go lay down. There is a thing here, there is a program here. Shaitan is going to bring you a lot of programs. But you're going to say, no, I got to learn this. Once I finish this, then I will do, inshallah, that which is pleasing to my soul. Of course, taking into consideration that has to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. In home like this, parents, they doing what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both, not just one. You have to be both on the same channel, like we say. The father and the mother. The mother in channel 7 and the father in channel 11. It doesn't work. Except in a grocery store, 7-Eleven. But in reality, communication, you don't get no communication. You got to be in the right channel, the same channel. The father and the mother both, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are obedient to Allah, obedient to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They make this main a priority. We Muslims, not just because by names or by affiliation. No, our home has to be a Muslim home. Haqiqatan, by us adorning ourselves with the teachings of Islam, by practicing Islam in every moment of our lives, every statement we make, every action we do, every decision we may make, we gotta see, and we do, and say, and be where it is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.